Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 145 of DM Discussions, a podcast for players and DMs alike, where we cover a wide variety of topics to help you with your games. I'm your host, Ryan Reeder, and with me, as always, is my good buddy, Ben Buffhopper. How are you doing tonight, Ben?
I am wiped out and tired with a fried brain, yet I am still here, so I will speak as well as I can for as long as I can before I start talking gibberish by the end of the show.
That actually sounds like a normal show.
Yeah, pretty much. Really.
That's pretty run of the mill these days.
I mean, for the most part, I've had less fried brain recently, but you know, in previous episodes,
we're getting closer to the holidays. The October, November, December time period is obviously quite busy for many people. Mm-hmm. So, like, they got holidays coming up, you got vacations, you got schools off, you know, all traveling for a lot of people, all those things. So it's hectic. It's a lot going on.
A touch.
But we are excited. We've got tons of stuff to talk about since the last time that we had our show. So let's just dive into it real fast. Starting with some cool news. This is from the recent Hasbro earnings call, and D&D actually got a shout out during the Hasbro quarterly report, which is a little unusual because they normally only shout things out when they're, you know, doing really well. And usually for Wizards, it's Magic the Gathering because Magic is just silly and sells ridiculous amounts of things. Mm-hmm. And they have all sorts of different worlds beyond
Fortnite-ing it.
They're totally Fortnite-ing it, and it's doing well. I guess they're in a race to see how much their fan base will accept or not.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie, we were just at our local game store on Saturday and they had all the Spider-Man cards and decks, mm-hmm, and everything. I'm just kind of like, I really like Spider-Man. I know nothing about Magic. I should totally buy this and play. I'm like, no. CCG. No. And I don't want to be that jerk who shows up to like the serious Magic tournament and be all like, I got Spider-Man. Because that would be just, I don't know. I feel like I would just,
it's a deep hole.
Yeah.
It's a deep hole.
Exactly.
Yeah. I've already got too many hobbies, and games are not something that I can add right now.
Yeah.
But Wizards got the brief comment for D&D specifically was the refreshed 2024 editions of the Monster Manual, Player's Handbook, and DM's Guide are off to the strongest ever start for D&D books.
Yay.
That's sounds great. That's super promising. And I mean, it's obviously probably a fairly big number at this point. And we know that D&D is probably bigger than it's ever been. So obviously there's more audience there to capture, but still a very promising thing. And they also talked about D&D Beyond, and the new tabletop for it, maps, especially since it's been made free, which it was in September. And because of that, the weekly traffic was up nearly 50%.
That's crazy, since it but went I free. Totally understand why. I mean,
it's nice
good.
To have integrated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very nice
to have integrated. They also talked a little bit about that D&D video games are a big focus for them, but there's like 5 currently in development. And we talked a little bit about that last episode, but the tabletop RPG is still very important with a focus on D&D Beyond, which is really good. Like, and we'll talk a little bit about some of that shift here in a few minutes, but more focus on D&D Beyond, more features for D&D Beyond, more updates for D&D Beyond. That is one of my biggest hopes for like next year and beyond. So it is good to hear that that does at least seem like it's a possibility.
Yeah. With all the love that they're pouring into the VTT, I mean, that alone is, I personally think, worth the subscription, even though you're able to use it for free, but you just get more features as a subscriber. But then integrating all the stuff that you might own on D&D Beyond is great. Having just the ability to work with my character or my players and their characters and everything through it and stuff, it's just, it's pretty great. I mean, I've been happy about it for a very long time. And it definitely has its shortcomings. We've talked about it before. Creating homebrew things can be a total nightmare, which is why I do a lot of copy this thing and then alter it a whole bunch because it has that stuff in it that I need.
Honestly, one of my biggest hopes for next year is a full-on streamlining, tutorialized, much better UI, UX, user experience for creating homebrew.
I don't want to say AI because I hate AI and its takeover of everything. However, being able to give it more of I want a sword that does this kind of prompt would really kind of work well in creating the stats for it and everything for you, I think.
Or at least creating a baseline that you could then go and edit.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that,
right? 'Cause
would be helpful.
I don't have as much of a problem with AI type stuff as long as we're doing it ethically, in which all the training data for it is on stuff they own.
Yeah.
Right.
Which would make sense.
They own enough stuff that they don't need to steal. Basically everything does, which is where a lot of the conundrum comes in beyond, the environmental aspects of crazy power generation and water usage. That's all bad stuff.
Yes.
But if you're going to force it on and you're going to use it in interesting, fun ways, use it in a way that is only sourced from your training data. No one else's. Don't you dare train third parties.
Unless
you're compensating them for it. And they are agreeing to it. But you have a wealth of things that you could then use, like you said, some sort of, hey, I want to make this type of thing. And it gives you a template and then you can go in and edit it.
Yeah.
That would certainly be much more user-friendly than the current system.
Yes.
And that doesn't even necessarily have to be AI.
That's true.
That could just be a simple web tutorial guide you through, how they have it for new characters on the website.
Yeah.
Here's click the little checkbox. Here's the guided character creation. You just need that experience for homebrew items. Yeah. Here's the guided character or homebrew creation for subclasses, for items, for monsters in a much prettier form. And then you go in and can edit all these different fields and such afterwards in a much more user-friendly way.
Yeah. Start off, what do you want to make? A wondrous item. Okay, great. Then from there, do you want it to add stats? Do you want it to add modifiers? Do you want it to add this or, something along those lines? Write a text box about what you would like this, write a description,
exactly.
Stuff like that would work really well. Just like you said, step by step, if you look at the homebrew creation thing, it's okay, we've got all the stuff. And then we have a click here to add modifiers, click here to add this, just do it in the same exact way that you have it, just have
even section, a pretty by, front
section
end.
By section. Yeah. That would be pretty great. And
again, doesn't even have to be AI.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go. We've solved the problem.
Yeah. We just saved you a ton of GPUs.
Yeah, man.
Beyond.
We should get jobs there.
Do it the nice, pretty, but manually guided way.
Yes.
Oh God. Okay. So that's fun. What's also fun is that Justice Armand Justice Armon. I keep saying Armon in my head because I've been watching the new Critical Role. It's just so it's close just
there.
And it's stuck in my head. It's very good, by the way. I am enjoying it immensely, but that is unsurprising because I'm a massive Brennan fanboy. So, but they're all doing an incredible job. It still is very long, like Critical Role B, but I am enjoying it after falling off and not enjoying Campaign 3 that much. This has definitely hooked me so far, and I'm very interested to see where they go. But anyways, Justice has posted on Blue Sky that they have a number of open positions within the D&D TTRPG studio, including multiple game designer roles. So if you're interested, you can apply for that. If you have experience, if you've been a third party creator, there are apparently multiple roles you can go apply for, and we will link that post in the show notes on dndiscussions.com. It would have probably been easier if they had just not fired several of their designers, then they wouldn't have to hire them again.
I mean, you know,
just a thought.
If you want to look at it that way,
you know, just, you know, it'd be so much easier.
Yeah. But you know what? This is how they control the job market. Get rid of the people who are experienced and pull more people in.
Line must go up.
Yeah.
I hate it, but it is what it is right now. As sucky as that was, there is opportunity. So if that's something that sounds up your alley or you've got experience for, you should definitely check it out.
Yeah. And this is in Renton, Washington. So I'm assuming that you are going to have to move if you do.
I believe they're mostly in person.
Yeah. There are similar jobs in Seattle and also Bellevue as well. Well, game designer jobs specifically. So,
Yep.
Yeah.
And speaking of new things or D&D jobs, there was recently a post shared by Dan Ayoub. I think it's Ayoub, who was the recently appointed head of the D&D franchise at Wizard. And he shared a picture with himself, Joe Manganiello, Margaret Wise, and Tracy Hickman, who are very highly regarded, popular D&D writers. Have done many books. And the big thing that is kind of being hinted or talked about in regards to this kind of picture and everyone together is Dragonlance. Apparently, Joe Manganiello is a huge Dragonlance fan. In fact, he was behind trying to get, back when they were working on the D&D like TV show, he was trying to pitch a Dragonlance series for TV, like one of those big budget streamer type shows, which I honestly think hope still happens, because I think that would be super cool. There is
something still in the works from what I know or last I heard. So hopefully something.
Yeah, I hope so too. But the caption on his post with the picture was basically, when I took over D&D, I had some very specific folks I wanted to bring back to the table today. I had the honor of welcoming these folks back home. Amazing things ahead. And then tagged all those people. Considering the people involved in the not-so-subtle Dragonlance t-shirt worn by Manganiello, it's safe to assume this project will be related to the world of Kryn, co-created by Wise and Hickman for TSR, Wizard's predecessor. Notably, Manganiello and the authors have been working on a Dragonlance TV series for some time, but announced last year that specific project had been canceled. But this will likely mean some sort of Dragonlance thing is on the horizon, or they probably wouldn't kind of promote those specific people so pointedly.
I think so.
Very interested. And obviously things take time. So whatever is happening, especially from these people, we probably won't see it materialize for another year or two, at least. But it is something to kind of be a little excited about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fun. Something a little less likely to be excited about. Well, for some people, we knew this was coming. We predicted this was coming many times. And we made our thoughts clear on developmental resource and usage, but D&D Beyond just a few days ago did finally post that Sigil, the 3D virtual tabletop, is ending development. This is completely unsurprising considering they laid off 90% of the staff not that long ago. I think it was like end of last year or early this year or something like that. The writing has been on the wall for a long time.
Yeah,
so it's not super surprising.
We reported the layoffs and everything, I believe, in March, I believe. I think that's what it was. I'm looking back at our stuff. Yeah, Hasbro pushed Sigil out of the nest. That was back in March.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's one of those things, again, I think the concept of it was cooler than the actual product. Well, if that makes sense.
The thing is I don't think that it had the time to become the product that it could have been, because the higher ups from Hasbro were looking for a video game as opposed to virtual tabletop.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's not necessarily what most people want. And especially when they decided to do maps, mm-hmm. and you have a plethora of very good 2D virtual tabletops that are usually much faster and quicker to implement a map or characters or whatever in. Yep. And especially just making sure everyone had the computer resources and the installation to actually use the program.
Yeah.
Because again, this was an Unreal Engine thing.
If my entire party was able to actually run it, I probably would have dabbled and played with it a lot more. One member of my party, I know for certain, couldn't, so I didn't even try. Like, there's no point. So we just really swung heavily into maps instead.
Yep. And I think probably a lot of people did too. They did say, though, they thanked everyone who experimented with it and hosted campaigns using the Master Chief subscription. They said, if you used your paid or trial Master Tier subscription to access Sigil at least once, anytime between March 1st, 2025 and October 23rd, 2025, that you will be receiving a 6-month Master Tier credit. It will be granted and appear on your account November 7th. If you already have an active subscription, the credit will effectively pause your current paid subscription and then resume it after the 6-month period. So a little bonus for anybody who tried it out. That's nice. That's a nice little bonus, I guess. If you're actually using it, though, you can continue running your campaigns through the end of October 2026. So they're going to leave the servers on basically for another year. All features and tier access will remain the same during that time. At the end of October 2026, Sigil's servers will shut down and the content created will no longer be accessible. It's kind of bittersweet. It's again one of those things. This has been being talked about in video games actually quite a bit in the last 6 months or so. The concept of video game preservation,
mm-hmm.
To where there's so many of these games, particularly MMOs or these like online shooters,
any live service game,
any live service type games, where the company can just pull the plug on the servers and the game will just disappear and there will be no trace of it and no ability to use it whatsoever. And that is always a really sad thing because that is a massive amount of effort that was done by a bunch of developers that basically then disappears into the nether, and they don't have that to show anymore for their resumes, for anything. We've seen a few cases of things being resurrected. City of Heroes was a really good example of something that came back as a private server that kind of became official, which was super cool. But that is by far the exception rather than the rule right now. So I would love to see before they fully sunset it. And I don't know. I don't know what the what could be possible. But I mean, the OGL exists, right? It'd be very interesting to see, or I guess the Creative Commons at this point. But I would love to see them open source it and let the community run with it if they want to. I think that would be a great gesture, and it would also save the still massive amount of work that went into it. So I really hope something like that is done, because anytime these like live service things are canceled and sunset, it's always sad because a massive amount of work disappears. So I hope that there is something that can be done.
One thing that I don't think you touched on, but I do just want to toss out there. If you did pre-order the 2024 digital and physical core rulebook and everything, you got that golden dragon miniature for Sigil or Sigil. That's obviously going bye-bye, but you'll be getting a new digital dice set on D&D Beyond as a replacement reward. So you'll still have something special and unique. Personally, I would have loved it if they just sent everybody an actual like little golden gold dragon miniature, but there's no way that they would do that. But I mean, that would have been great. And I really hope that I hopped on after March 1st, because I don't know if I did or not. But
okay. I know I launched it at least once or twice.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that counts.
Me too. if not, I'm just going to continue just paying for my subscription as I normally do. But yep. a nice yep. 6 month reward is going to be nice. But yeah. Yep. And then also every single D&D Beyond user, you're going to get a backdrop for your character as well. So that's for everybody as a, you know, sorry that.
Whoopsie daisy.
Yeah, it's going to be a picture of a dwarf just, you know, pouring out an ale in honor of Sigil. So, I mean, that's what it again, should be.
Yeah, at the end of the day, this is kind of what we were talking about when we were going over the initial piece of news, where D&D Beyond is going to be a focus, the 50% increase in traffic for maps. I hope we see a big shift in development resources for next year and beyond back to D&D yeah. Beyond, to continue to add features, to continue to streamline it, to continue to fix bugs, to continue to make it so that more third-party content, especially custom classes, can be added in their full entirety, and that maps will continue to get better.
Yep, that's the hope. So,
that's the hope. Switching now to some upcoming stuff. There was a few cool articles that dropped for the upcoming Forgotten Realms books that are coming fairly soon at this point. I think November
sometime.
So the first is a big article about a brand new mechanic, which is always a lot of fun to get, called Circle Magic, and new spells that come with it. So, Ben, what is this circle magic thing?
Well, it's very simple. Basically, you cast spells in a circle. So, you know, like if you want to, you know, cast silence on someone, it's, you know, it's circle around them. No, I'm kidding. That's not what it is. Basically, what circle magic is something that is actually really cool, and I'm actually really excited about this. It's basically adding people to your spell casting to, you know, add effects, make them bigger, or, you know, like change different wonderful things that, you know, to the actual thing. So basically you take one person as the actual caster, and then, you know, you can have another person add to it, and you can redefine the casting. through a bunch of different things, like augment the spell's range. You can distribute the concentration among, you know, multiple allies so that, you know, you can keep the effects kind of going. You can expand the actual influence, like making the area of effect bigger. You can make the duration longer. You can add like safeguards to your allies, you know, like, you know, sorcerers get to do that already, which is really cool. But adding it to like a bigger spell with multiple people is actually pretty cool. You can supplant like material costs by just having the collective strength of more people in the circle. And then, you know, there are other effects that you can add onto it, like, you know, additional effects based on the spell. They gave two different spells as a possibility. There's Doomtide and Spellfire, at least in the article that we have, which are pretty cool. Like Doomtide, you just unleash a whole bunch of like an inky sphere out there that is basically magical darkness but causes a bunch of psychic damage and reduces saving throws. But if you cast it in a circle, if you have like, you know, five more secondary casters, you can expand it to like three different pearls from Pandemonium to do that. You can extend their spell's range to a mile away and sustain its power until it's dispelled. So really cool, fun, different effects like that. And like, yeah, this could definitely be something for, you know, party members and stuff. But to me, this calls out as something that can be really fun for a DM to play around with, especially if you're, you know, going against what are one of the biggest enemies that you find in D&D? Cultists. What do cultists have? Fanatics, spellcasters. So imagine having a group of like six spellcasters working on a spellfire storm, trying to drop it on the city that's, you know, 2 miles away or something. And basically you need to get there to disrupt that before the city is destroyed. It's just an added plot element. But on top of that too, imagine having everybody in your party working towards, you know, casting some sort of spell together, like, you know, a protection spell of some sort, or trying to take out, you know, this giant, well, gosh, we'll say a Tarrasque has been unleashed, get a whole bunch of casters together to try to, you know, cast some huge banish on it or something. Like, I really think this is a awesome addition. And I'm really looking forward to playing with it and having a lot of fun. And, you know, as a DM, I could just do this anyway, but having, you know, some sort of, you know, guidance into something like this means that I can use it, make it a lot more balanced and fair, but even more so, like, make it probably bigger than what I can come up with, because these game designers have been able to do it for me. So I can just add my creativity on top of that.
And the cool new spells that come with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we're going to get a bunch of cool new spells. So that'll be super cool. Yeah, I really like this. Introducing new mechanics is always super fun. I do see this as more of a tool for DMs than players, probably. Mm-hmm. Most player parties will not be big enough to do giant circles. And this article doesn't expound upon it too much. So we don't know, like, can you do just two? Or can you do three or four? Because if there are different, you know, size limits or restrictions or the ability to do so, then certain parties might be able to do something like that. But like,
yeah, definitely
things that would need like five, most parties are not five people and probably not five casters. Mm-hmm. Right. So I definitely see this lean a little more towards the DM side, your bad guys. I think very cool thing that your bad guys could be doing. You could certainly use this as a DM and have NPC casters join your party, or have your party join them to cast some sort of really cool thing. I think that could be a really fun moment or moments in a campaign. There's just like, we need your help. Lend us your energy.
Oh yeah.
Type thing.
Like, I'm already coming up with ideas of having, you know, non-casters have some sort of blessing placed upon them so they can interact with the circle and help strengthen it in some way. Like, imagine a barbarian being in there. And granted, when they rage, they can't concentrate. But if they pour that rage, you know, into like a frenzy, maybe add more damage to like a fireball or something like that. You know, having a fighter in there, being able to concentrate and help kind of push and carry the burden of concentration while others are being attacked or something, you know? So I would definitely play with it in that sort of sense, if that's not even included in there, just to either give my entire party a chance to really, you know, interact with this, or make sure that, you know, one of my casters is the primary caster for this, and include others into the circle to, you know, strengthen it or whatever. Like, this is just really cool. And it's opening up so many different like possibilities of just really cool plot moments, as well as, barriers to overcome.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of really, really cool possibilities for this. And again, it's going to be in the new Forgotten Realms book. So I'm excited to read more in depth than just the, you know, the snippet the article mm-hmm. gave.
Yeah, definitely. I'm so looking forward to this. I'm glad that I have the books on order.
Yeah. And speaking of Forgotten Realms, there was another recent article here just, I think just a few days ago, where they also talked a little bit that they're starting the Forgotten Realms tap is starting to flow. Essentially, that's the next big, you know, thing coming out. And they're talking about the 8 subclasses that are going to come with that book.
Yep, it's been confirmed.
So that's
and
very exciting.
We know a little bit about them because of Unearthed Arcana, but so Ryan, what do we have here?
So we've got the ones that made it out of UA and are specifically going to be in this book, which doesn't mean that ones that were in UA and aren't here aren't going to be somewhere else. But the ones that made it are College of the Moon Bard, Knowledge Domain Cleric, Banneret Fighter, Oath of the Noble Genies Paladin,
yeah.
Winter Walker Ranger, which... Yeah. We both thought was pretty dang cool.
Very cool.
Scion of the Three Rogue, Spellfire Sorcery Sorcerer, cool. and Blade Singer Wizard.
Which, you know what? That could be the sleeper hit. I just still think that one's weird, but it could be the sleeper hit.
as someone in the comments mentioned Blade Singer Wizard making Eldritch Knights feel bad since 2015.
Pretty much.
Which I would love to see an updated Eldritch Knight.
Oh yeah, I mean, it'll probably come in at some point. We'll get some sort of really weird Eldritchy kind of you know, new book or something to update to 2024.
Yeah, but I mean, they all sound pretty interesting. They all sound very thematic. So we won't go through each and every one of them, because we've talked about them some from UAs, but we'll have the article linked on mm-hmm. on Dean Discussions show notes, so you can jump in and check out the different individual subclasses if you would like.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
I'm excited for these books.
Yes, me too.
So, I think they're gonna add a lot. All right, so let's jump into our next topic. Back by popular demand.
Yeah, who'd have thought? People like it.
It's been a hot minute, but we're going to do a monster fixer this episode. These have been a little less necessary because a lot of the new monsters from the Monster Manual are actually a lot better than they were. In fact, it seems like some of them are even, you know, trended towards some of the stuff we even talked about mm-hmm. in some of the fixer segments we've done so far. So honestly, most, not necessarily all, but most of the monsters got at least a little bit of a glow up in the new Monster Manual. Some of them are far better. Some of them probably could have used a little bit more work, but it is cool seeing that there are reactions. There are bonus actions to these monsters now. There are sometimes more than one action that can be chosen. But beasts specifically have always felt a little bit meh, like very, very one note. And I think that's doing a little bit of a disservice because there's a lot of really interesting things you can do with animals. Animals have a lot of interesting traits, interesting abilities, interesting things they do that are very thematic to them. And so when you look to kind of spice up a beast, think about something they do in the wild, something they are good at, something that is kind of a standout trait of theirs, and then turn that into a mechanic. Now, in the new monster manual, some of that has been done to an extent on a few of them, which is really cool, but there are still quite a few that you just look at and go, that is just boring. It's super boring. So we're going to talk about, we're going to grab a few examples, talk about a few, kind of get your mind churning a little bit, to see if we can spice up some of these beasts. So Ben, let's, where do you want to start?
Well, first of all, I think I just want to throw in just the kind of overall disclaimer for beasts. So, I mean, you can always theme them by wherever they are. So like, you know, if they're in some place really hot, you can give them like a, you know, a fiery effect to it. Someplace cold, an icy effect, you know, just things like that. You can do that. It makes them more magical than just plain beasts, but it's, you know, it's something that you can add additionally. On top of that, I think that an easy way to just, again, just kind of as a general thing, you can make it so that basically almost every animal can pounce, because almost every animal can pounce. Almost everything can charge. You know, some of them, you know, much more easily than others. Like a rhino can charge a lot more than like a fox can. But, you know, a fox can still run at you and like nip at your leg or something like that, you know. Then on top of that, if you really want to kind of go for something a little bit out there that still uses, you know, the beast mechanics and stuff, you can always add them as an awakened beast so that they're a lot more smarter with what they do. Whereas, you know, you might have a pack of wolves, they're all awakened. They're actually going to all go for the cleric, even though, you know, the barbarian's the one dealing out the damage because they know the cleric is the one who's going to, you know, be healing things and, you know, try to take them out first or something like that. So there's overall things that you can do with that. But if Ryan, if you're looking for a specific one, I think we start off with just a basic bear. You know, it's something that's,
yeah,
is large, can stand up to, you know, a humanoid very easily. And I mean, if we look at just the brown bear, it's already got a bite and a claw as a multi-attack, which, you know, it's a bear. What else can you do? Well, I would love to add a reaction in there that's like a parry, because, you know, you got a big bear standing on its haunches, you know, kind of swinging at you. If you're going for an attack, why couldn't it kind of like bat your hand to, you know, lessen the attack or parry it out of the way? Even more so because of the force in there, I would want to add like some sort of like a strength saving throw to make sure it doesn't just bat your weapon out of your hand. I think that could be something interesting with, you know, a bigger kind of animal going like that. Because, I mean, it is a large beast. Humanoids generally are medium. So you have that size comparison just on you right there. On top of that, too, something that I kind of thought of is, you know, okay, so I'm a Pixar fan. Love Pixar. Brave is probably my favorite Pixar movie. There's a bear in there called Mordu. And yes, it was a cursed person, but it's still this legendary animal. So why can't we have legendary beasts out there as well? Give them legendary actions, you know, extra attacks, give them, you know, added durability or something, or like a reaction or a bonus action where they just kind of like shrug off a weapon. Like, you know, you see all these like, you know, legendary animals in WoW or in other movies or something where there's like, you know, broken spears just sticking out of their hide all the time. You know, add that in, give them like a reaction of like tough hide where it doesn't, you know, pierce all that well, or it sticks in or something along those lines where maybe it'll just, you know, cause half damage or something.
Yeah. But, like the the whole slashing, piercing, bludgeoning resistance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
It's tons of sense.
Yeah, give them something like that. And I mean, obviously you're beefing this up, so you know, you're maybe raising its AC on top of that as well, because you know, this bear is legendary. It's been around for a long time. It obviously knows what it's doing when it's going up against humanoids, because it has this title of legendary bear. So, you know, something along those lines would be kind of cool. Give it extra attacks for legendary actions, give it a charge attack, you know, give it, okay, it does have climbing speed, which is good. I was going to say, if it didn't, it needs to. But yeah, just, you know, have it grapple, have it tackle, you know, things like a giant moving bear would possibly do. You know, how many times have you seen them like kind of just, kind of, you know, like tackle like a garbage can, or like jump on a car and like, you know, put its whole weight down on it, because these things are big. So add that to it as well. I think that, you know, give it those extra little bits for a brown bear. I think it totally works. Makes sense.
Agreed. I also really love the idea of lower CR legendary creatures, because there are basically none. Like, there are so few and far between official. I think the first one is maybe CR 4 or 5.
Probably.
Like, I'd have to double check and look up, but there's not much. And so even level 2 and 3 parties can do some damage. 3 especially.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's when all your subclasses come in. That's when they actually have a, you know, halfway decent amount of hit points and such. So it's super fun to kind of surprise a, you know, level 3, level 4, level 2, whatever party with a kind of a legendary creature that has these legendary actions, when the party would go, oh, it just did what? what did it do now? So yeah, there are lots of really, really cool things that you can do with that. And beasts are a great lower CR and have a, like, as Ben was saying, a really good fantasy behind them that you can put in to create this tough, rugged, potentially legendary creature of X species.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
One other one I was looking at was the giant wolf spider. This is one that is on D&D Beyond, the new monster manual, and it's a giant spider. It's obviously got spider climb.
Mm-hmm.
All it can do is bite you for some piercing and poison damage. That's it. That's all it can do. I feel like there needs to be more. Like, there needs to be, like, actual wolf spiders are, like, opportunistic hunters, right? They hide in these burrows. They jump out and snatch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so something like this, and like I said, take inspiration. Pretty much all these animals are real animals, or were real dinosaurs, right? You can go look them up. Just do a quick Google search, right? Read a little bit about them. And in reading about them, you can usually find some cool traits that are not represented in their actual stat blocks, and then use that to kind of build something else. So wolf spider, definitely some sort of sneak attack.
Oh, right. Definitely.
Some sort of ability to maybe, as a bonus action, disengage and hide.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so you can to go out and sneak again. Maybe it's got some sort of single turn paralyze that you have to make a saving throw, con save against. Maybe it's got a grapple that it can grab you and maybe even pull you a certain amount of distance, especially if it's like in one of these underground burrows and these traps that it lays in wait for you to come snatch you. Far more interesting than just, I bite.
Yeah, I like that. On top of that, like, it's a spider. It needs to shoot webs. Like, I'm not saying it's going to be Spider-Man, but it needs at least, you know,
give it some sort of web-like thing.
Exactly. Like, if it successfully does, like, the, you know, the one around paralyze, you know, build off of that, web wrap you, leave you there, go attack something else. And then not only were you paralyzed, in order to get that, you've got to break out of the webbing or have someone else take care of it for you. So, you know, have that. But I love the idea of just setting up an area with, you know, burrows of giant wolf spiders around where they just kind of get near and all of a sudden they're pouncing out and grabbing and everything, like being dragged back down into a hole and then have the webbing cover the top so it's even harder to get to or something. Like, by the way, anybody who's an arachnophobic, I am so sorry for this this discussion right now. But you know, there are different traits and everything that you can definitely add to it. I mean, this is a CR quarter animal, and it should be really scary instead of just, you know, a small bite. I think that it can do definitely a lot more. You know, maybe give it a fear. You know, it's going to be a giant spider walking towards you. That's going to be a scary thing to see. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
It is giant. Giant. Giant spider. It's a medium beast.
Yeah.
That's fairly big.
Yeah.
Fairly big.
Yeah. I definitely want to run into one.
No. No. What else we got, Ben? We could talk about war horses, right? Mm-hmm. War horses, like they're kind of interesting, right? They're one of those things your character can ride into combat. They have, you know, CR one half, they've got 11 AC, 19 hit points. They've got a kind of a cool hoof attack, right? Which basically, if the target is large or smaller and the horse moves at least 20 feet straight towards it immediately before it hits, it takes extra damage and knocks the thing prone. That's cool. That's cool. But what could we do to spice up a warhorse?
I mean,
a little more.
A warhorse can bite. Horses bite. It happens. You should definitely add that in there as a possibility as well. But on top of that too, I mean, aside from like a trample, which is super easy for a horse to do, could definitely work. I would think that it should also have like a bucking mechanic. So like if an enemy or something gets on your horse and starts riding away, it could, you know, potentially buck them off. I think that could be kind of interesting, like as a reaction to someone that doesn't want it climbing on.
Yeah, I was also thinking about this as a cool mechanic to move through enemies, because mm-hmm. you can usually move through friendlies, but not enemies, right?
Yeah.
So if the enemies are size medium or smaller, maybe the horse has a trait or a mechanic that allows it to move through enemies at half speed.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because you're kind of like powering your way through.
Yeah, I mean, right? if you're thinking of like large scale battles and stuff like that, horses are easily able to just kind of mow people down and get through to where they need to go. I mean, that was part of the strategy. So yeah.
Yeah. So something that allows more movement in a confined space.
Yeah. And if you end
or a confined area,
if you end in a space already occupied, then that person or thing or whatever is moved aside a space or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that could be super cool for a horse, mm-hmm. especially we're not talking about like a wagon pulling horse. We're talking about a war horse specifically.
Yeah.
So let's juice him up a little bit. Let's beat him up a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. This is a horse that's wearing armor. Come on.
You know, Ben, you know what else needs beefed up a little bit? I've always been really I've always been really annoyed that as a dinosaur, the Allosaurus, which is like little T-Rex, is only a CR2.
Yeah.
It seems a little low. It seems a little weak. And then you open its stats and look at it and you go, oh, it can bite or it can claw? Tiny, tiny hand?
Yeah, this claw? Large. Well, I mean, it's got bigger hands than comparatively than a T-Rex does, like compared to its body. It has actual like arms.
Yeah, a little bit of arms.
I mean, big claws on the feet too, but
I feel like we could do more.
Yeah, I mean, hands. I
feel like we could do more.
Hands down, this thing needs a fear of some sort, whether it's a growl or a roar or something like that.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a
dinosaur, big,
large dinosaur.
It's kind of it's still a large beast.
Yeah, with sharp teeth.
That is terrifying. Like, this is a small T-Rex, especially if you're a lower level party or something like that. An Allosaurus should be freaking terrifying. Like, if you look at the picture of it, it's big enough that a looks like a Goliath is riding on it.
Yes.
On its back. Like, this should be a very scary thing. And so I feel like it should have more. And a roar / fear of some sort definitely needs to be that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also like the idea, because this is another mechanic you can use, especially for carnivore or predator type creatures, especially beasts. A mechanic called like blood frenzy.
Yes.
Where essentially if a person it is in combat with is at half health or lower, it gets an extra thing. Maybe it does extra damage against that creature. Maybe it fixates on that creature and gets advantage on its attacks against it. Something that amps up the tension and it's just like, oh no, this thing is hunting me because I am hurt.
Yeah. Or even add a multi.
That can work for a lot of stuff. Yeah. 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 Like, oh, look at 50% health against this specific person. It gets multi-attack now instead of just one attack. Like, that's scary. That amps up the combat. That amps up the tension, which can be very fun and start to like really change the mindset and the strategy of a team when unexpected things like that happen.
Oh yeah. And I mean, if you look at the rest of its traits, it also has a nice long tail. Give it a good tail whip, you know, like a thwack, either as a reaction to, you know, I don't know, maybe being flanked or, you know, just another character like coming close, you know, give it a good reach of 10 feet because, you know, again, it's a large beast. It's got a big tail. Let it whip around. Think that'll work great.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many things. Again, it all goes back to look at the beast, look at their traits. As again, most of these are real and can be looked up. Develop mechanics based on that. You got a tiger, give him a pounce. Give him a pounce that goes 10 or 15 feet beyond their normal movement to be really scary. And on that pounce, maybe your character has to make a strength save or you get knocked prone, which is bad because that means that the attack that follows is coming at you at advantage.
Yeah. So don't be bloody and prone.
Then you're real big trouble.
Yes. Very much so. Hopefully you have a healer in the party somewhere.
But yeah, there's so many creatures. It's hard to really like go over tons of creatures just because there's, I mean, if you just like go to D&D Beyond and filter down to just like the new monster manual, it's like 5 pages worth of creatures. So there's tons of different creatures, but hopefully we got your minds in gear a little bit, kind of thinking about what makes a creature interesting. And it's not the just generic bite, claw, you know, sting, whatever attack. It's what are the cool things around that that make this unique?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But how about you? Do you have any ideas for fixing beasts? Are there any particular ones that you like or would like to hear from, get changed or get upstatted or made more interesting? Have a conversation with us in our Discord. We love it. That's where this topic originally came up. So we'd love to talk through some of those things because we love doing custom monsters. Both Ben and I have a long history of customizing enemies for our games. Mm-hmm. So it's always really fun to talk about kind of glow ups for the different monsters.
And, you know, if you run one, tell me about your legendary bear.
That's right. Legendary bear. I'm going to have to figure out how to add one of those into like a one shot or something.
Yeah, it's actually called the Legend Berry. Okay, never mind.
I'll let you have that one.
Thanks.
But only under duress. So moving on, before we kind of talk about our community shout outs, we wanted to do a quick mention that currently D&D Beyond is actually giving away a free Forgotten Realms adventure from the upcoming Forgotten Realms book. It was released just a few days ago, and it is called the Tenenbros Stone. I think I got it.
Sure. We'll go with that.
Looks right. It's a new adventure that appears in the upcoming Forgotten Realms Adventures in Faerun book. The adventure is a level 3 deity adventure set in Helmsdale and sends players into a salt quarry to track down an evil artifact. Players will battle several undead creatures before a final encounter at the hidden location of the artifact. This is free to grab. We will have the link on the show notes at dndiscussions.com if you want to add that to your D&D Beyond account. Yeah,
it is tiny too. Tiny. But it's good for, you know, just like
nice,
a really
quick one shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice quick one shot if you're looking for that. Could be a great thing to fit into an evening, mm-hmm, if you need something separate. Yeah,
basically, go retrieve an artifact. Yeah, it's starting. We better wrap up soon.
Oh boy. We also wanted to shout out, as we have many times, Dungeon Alchemist. They received a surprise update.
Yes.
As they toil away with their upcoming Fun with Objects Part 2, they did a big room for improvement update, which improves their room generation, their random object spawning, adds more furnishing, improves lighting, makes better patterns when you create the maps and the different rooms, better large rooms. So again, especially now that D&D Beyond maps, I believe Roll 20 supports it, Foundry supports it as well. Several of the virtual tabletops do. The animated maps, mm-hmm, which Dungeon Alchemist can make, if you do play online a lot, especially, it is an amazing tool for making custom maps for areas for your players. So highly recommend looking into it.
Yeah, it's pretty great. And I haven't had a chance to look at the update yet, but Just from going over the patch notes and everything, there's so many different added things that are things that I've noticed that I absolutely loved, like improved random object spawning. Like, you're not going to have stuff just randomly spawning in the middle of the rooms anymore. They're going to be kind of, you know, geared more to being like kind of clumped together in different areas around it. Different furnishings on, like, you know, tables and stuff like that. The lighting's better. There's different like patterns. Like, you know, you make a dormitory, you're going to see, you know, beds kind of spread out correctly how you would in a dorm, as opposed to just kind of haphazardly around and stuff. It's like, you know, really great stuff. I'm super excited for these updates because, again, you know, I told you when we saw the article that Dungeon Alchemist is probably the thing that I am happiest I have ever kickstarted.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It has been a constant torrent of free, massively improving updates. So it's very easy to recommend.
Yes, very much so.
One other really cool thing we talked about, I think a week or two ago, is the upcoming Tales from Wood Creek that the Dungeon Dudes are doing in collaboration with Deborah Ann Wall. The kind of mix of actual play slash reality show that is going to be dropping here very soon. I think they said around Halloween. So
yeah, I just think it was the 31st, in the next few days. Actually.
They'll drop episode one, but they did drop a Tales from Wood Creek session zero, which is essentially a little prelude promotional episode to introduce an introduction to the characters that Monty Kelly and Anjali will be playing in the official Tales from Wood Creek. So it's like a little, about an hour and a half, fun little session zero intro adventure. But if you want to watch that, to prep, if you're excited for the upcoming series, we'll have a link to that in the show notes as well.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
All right. And with that, I think we're about at the end. But of course, before our brains turn to complete mush, Ben, did you get to play since we last talked?
Yes, but not with my party. We are still in schedule overload with that, so we're not actually going to be playing again until mid-November. But we were able to join in the D&D game day last weekend. Well, not last weekend, but the one before. I think I don't know, but time is anymore. But regardless, we were able to play D&D at Silver Dragon, which was great. We joined two games that day, and the first one was a one shot that we had signed up for with one of our favorite DMs, but unfortunately she got sick and couldn't make it. So the owner of the store actually ran us through an adventure that he kind of threw together last minute, which was a lot of fun. It was a you know, Halloween themed, you know, we have to find an artifact. We go into this place and it's this cave that has like all these hooks all over the place. And there's like these big ogre guys and like cooking people and stuff. And it was really cool. We had a blast just kind of going through and just creating havoc all over the place in there, which was great. In the second game we played, which was with another one of our favorite DMs, they had set up basically it's a trap house, a mansion that appears like, you know, once every 100 years or something like that. And you go in, and as soon as you're in, you're trapped there. And, you know, there's all these different things that you need to avoid and everything. And if you die, as soon as someone in the party dies, everything resets. And the DM kept track of all of how many times we actually died by having like this big kind of hourglass thing. And would, you know, fill up the sand for, you know, each death a little bit more, a little bit more. By the time we kind of got, you know, near, because it took us a while to figure things out. We had a couple different encounters in there. We've gotten like super close to being dead, like not 100% dead, but, you know, we're rolling death saves and then someone gets, you know, some health back and everything. We only ended up having two deaths total. And then we ended up to the final boss, which was really trippy. It was an hourglass, like inside of a large hourglass. And the point is that the more we died, the more powerful the boss got. Since we only died twice, it wasn't nearly as brutal as it could be. So, you know, we're fighting that, and it's trying to
that's really interesting.
Eat everybody, which is really great. And going into the fight, I had 2 hit points, thanks to 2 good berries. And so I had my very first character death ever in a D&D game was that one shot. And so my turtle sorceress or sorcerer, unfortunately, ended up dying. The only final death in that game, but it was a great adventure. It was a lot of fun, and I'm really glad that we were able to play.
That's super cool.
Yeah, it was really creative and really fun, and just going through and, you know, finding out the different traps, what different doors did, and finding all that stuff was pretty great, especially since we had a gnome or goblin or I forget, it was a small character run across the floor to the stairwell to activate like a rolling boulder, like, you know, a la Indiana Jones style, coming down the stairs, down the hall and everything. And because they were a small character, we didn't realize that the floor actually gave way based on how much weight you put on it. So that's how I nearly died. I fell into a spike trap through there because I was heavier than the gnome or that's halfling fun. Or whatever who ran across it and stuff. Yeah, it was great. Oh,
that's great.
So yeah,
that's
we thought great. The hallway was fine. Nope, wasn't. So yeah, there's a lot of really fun details and stuff in there. So it was a really good time.
Very cool. Very, very cool.
Yeah.
Sounds like a blast.
Oh, totally. How about you? How was your, have you been able to play? And if so, how was your session?
Oh boy, howdy. We did.
Oh.
And it was wild. For those who have been listening for a while, last remember the party was in this, kind of manufactory place. And they had gotten kind of locked in, triggered an alarm unwittingly, and one of the current like big bads materialized, teleported in. They thought at first he was alone, so they decided to try and take him out. He's this really cool like Goliath dude, just giant, you know, eight foot something. But he has all these magical tattoos all over him, which is fun for me because mechanically that gives me lots of really cool things to do. But they started attacking him, and they did pretty well in their opening salvo, but I telegraphed last time that of these, you know, constructs that are hanging from the ceiling, one of them had magic coming from it. Turned out that one had the power cores in it, and he activated it.
Oh.
And this gatekeeper construct fell down and started activating. So it's basically this big sphere that has just tons of blades that come out of it. And that's when they realized, oh, this is bad.
Yeah. Like,
so it ended up just being a lot of, what do we do? Do we try to escape? Do we try and fight this? So it essentially, there was a lot to it, but essentially it came down to they're almost back through the door. They're trying to escape. And our wizard rogue combo knows that this guy, that they're going to get chased down. So he basically, or they basically go up and they start, they run their mouth essentially and drop information that very few people should know. As it is with a wizard rogue, they don't have much strength.
No.
And Big Bad grabs them. And they have to get grabbed. Because they get grabbed. And basically takes them away to a different part of the building. While the others are yelling and screaming and doing everything they can to get away and get the opposite side door shut back down so that the construct can't get through and follow them.
Oh, wow.
And that's basically where we ended the session. And so one of the player characters is legitimately unconscious and captured. And so I don't know what's going to happen. Don't know what's going to happen. Like, it's bad. It's a bad, very bad thing.
Yeah, that's
very, very bad thing.
That's going to be real. I mean, first of all, it's going to be tricky for you to run to different areas, but even more so, what are they going to do? Like, are they going to take a long rest to come back at full power to try to save them? Are they going to turn around right now and figure out a way back in? Like, there's so many different avenues of infiltration or trying to get help or whatever. Meanwhile, their friend's life is literally completely unknown to them on what's happening. Like, as far as they know, he could be dead already.
Yeah. And I already had a talk with the player. And they knew what they were getting into.
Yeah.
Like, this is not like surprising. This was a sacrifice play for all intents and purposes to allow the other characters to get away. So it'll be interesting to do our next session to see how, if they can escape the rest of the way, how that's going to hit them and their characters. But, the other player is going to be playing a different character for a little bit.
Okay.
Maybe permanently. Who knows at this point. So it's one of those things that I've not had this particular situation before in a D&D campaign. So I am very interested, and I don't even know how it's exactly going to play out, but I'm very interested to see how it does.
Me too. I am very much looking forward to this.
Yeah. So ever since the session, I've been doing lots of thinking, just lots of trying to run through scenarios in my head. Because again, that was probably one of those, like, this might have a tiny chance of happening, but probably not type things that, of course, through the story and the dice and stuff ended up. So, it's very exciting. It's a little nerve wracking, but I'm excited to continue and see where it goes from there.
Very cool. I'm looking forward to it for you. And knowing you, I know that you're going to figure out something very clever for all of it.
God, I hope so. But with that, we will close our episode. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Thank you for joining us just for a little talk on D&D news and letting us get excited over some of the things that we're playing and the things that we're doing. We would love to hear more from you. Ben, why don't you tell everyone where we can be reached? So if you want to give us feedback, if you want to have a conversation with us, if you want to send us something cool, you can.
Yeah. So we're going to start out from the most private way and grow from there. So if you want to just send it so that it's something that Ryan and I see, just the two of us, you can always email us. Send those to dndiscussions@gmail.com. We would love to hear about your campaigns. We'd love to hear about any, beasts that you've altered and done a whole bunch of random, monster fixer yourself on. Love to hear about that. If you want to be all like, hey, I'm on Blue Sky, let's reach out. Let's see what's going on. You can find the show on Blue Sky at DN Discussions. You can find Ryan at TBK Zord, or you can find me at Ben Bumhofer. Now, if for some reason, and I think you should, you want to join our Discord with our growing community with a lot of really good, fun people, people who ask, you know, questions, offer opinions, talk about their campaigns, things like that. Join our Discord, and you can find a link to that on dndiscussions.com, which also has links to our Blue Sky accounts. Who'd have thought? But even more so, every single episode that we've ever done is on dndiscussions.com, as well as, of course, your podcast player of choice. But join our Discord. We love talking to everybody and, you know, hearing your thoughts on things. With that being said, if you want to listen to me playing some Dungeons & Dragons, you can always check out Plus 5 to Hits. It is an actual play podcast that I'm on. We're on Campaign 3. I think we just did, like, episode 9 or 10 or something like that, which, you know what? I gotta say, campaigns, I'm having a lot of fun with it. There's a lot of mystery and intrigue going on. So I'm, you know, learning my new character. Very different from a bard that I played in the previous campaign. But I'm enjoying playing as a barbarian for the first time, you know, for a good, long, decent amount of time. So, yeah, check that out. Plus 5 to Hit. This show, though, Plus 5 to Hit, or DN Discussions. See, there's that whole, like, brain fried thing going on. We always appreciate all the support that everybody gives us, whether it's, you know, 5-star reviews, wherever you listen to us, joining us in discussion on our Discord, or, you know what, just listening. We appreciate you and appreciate all the support that you give. And, you know, we want to just give a big thank you to everybody who does. So thank you very much. We love you. We think you're great. That being said,
it's true.
Ryan, it is a blast talking to you. Thank you so much for joining me this week. And everybody else, until next time, roll high and be good to each other.
Take care, and we'll see you soon.